face one way or the other, unless they could avoid being on Shabbos for the rest of their lives. There are certain professions where you could do that. Dentists very often have it easier in that regard. Shout out to a budding young dentist here, Ari Bardash. But in terms of doctors, I think for the most part, even fields such as radiology, just as a little aside, these days are getting tough, you know, to avoid it. You know, you could find positions, and it's always worth it. Again, just to echo where we began last week, Moshe Feinstein says the achrayus is to try, and I want to reiterate this and emphasize it, because we're going to be dealing with kulas and chumras. But as a bottom line, Rav Moshe was emphasizing beyond the shadow of a doubt that you should try your utmost to avoid ever being on Shabbos as a starting point for whatever you're going to do. And then you work with the circumstances as they are, and you work within, of course, the guidelines of halacha as it is. But as a lechatchila, the mindset that really set off, remember the first year we had where we were talking about permission to be... to go into the field of medicine at all, and the arguments of Rav Schechter and Sofer Avraham and Rabbi Bleich and all those that seemed to be discouraging everybody, the real thing that bothered them, when I had heart-to-heart talks with those that I could, what really bothered them, they felt there was a prevalent attitude, the opposite of what Rav Moshe is emphasizing, which is, they felt that once a person becomes that MD, and I'm sure that all of us have seen and experience this, you know, all the jokes, there's that famous joke about the guys, you know, over on Shabbos, just the lunch by somebody, and they tell them to turn on the light. Can't you? You're a doctor. You know, what's the problem? Can you turn on the light? That kind of joke has its origins in this concern that once a person's becoming a doctor, you know, they get very sort of soft on Shabbos. And the emphasis is obviously the opposite. So that's a starting point. Having said that, we then are confronted with this issue of, well, we finished medical school, we now are MDs, or dentists, or whatever it might be, whatever, the PAs, this is going to be applicable across the board at healthcare professionals. So now we want to do an internship residency, Shabbos or no Shabbos. So just to repeat, we saw that Rabbi Tendler, the truth of what he says, and reiterates strongly, if you speak to him privately, is that his feeling was, of course, as everybody would say, and as Rabbi Willig put it to me once, I'll never forget it, in the simplest of terms, when I was speaking to him about this whole issue that we're speaking about today, so he just said to me, look, he just puts his arm around me and he just says, you're not going to be Mechal Shabbos, right? Bottom line is you can't just be Stam Mechal Shabbos. You might have to operate along the guidelines of Halacha and be Doche Shabbos appropriately, but you're never going to be Mechal Shabbos Stam. So that's a given, right? So you have to be wary of the fact that certain non-Shomer Shabbos residencies, or whatever the politically correct way of expressing that is, non-friendly to Shabbos residencies, that if they're going to force you to do things that are Chilul Shabbos, there is no heter, there's no far-fetched pikuach nefesh heter behind the scenes, there is nothing really to allow you to operate along those lines. So the key is, as we will explore once we finish this immediate topic, is then to work. I'm going to actually, after we finish Shabbos residency or not, and I'm going to obviously advocate for Shabbos residency, but realize that there will be a time when we're going to confront non-Shabbos residencies or fellowships, which I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a Shabbos fellowship. There are individuals that have managed to squeeze it out, but in this day and age, very competitive fellowships, it's not so pashut that that's really doable. So we will talk about how to operate within those contexts, but never is it going to be that you can be Mechal Shabbos. So what about now, you want to decide you the argument to do a Shabbos residency or not? So Rabbi Tendler right away is going to give a shita that ignores a lot of our discussion that we began last week and we're going to continue this week. Rabbi Tendler just, I've heard, and I meant to ask him and I didn't, but it's easy too, that it's presented as he spoke to Rav Moshe Feinstein about this, and their mahalach was, and actually we're going to see a raya for this today, that they're not going to be so concerned with this theoretical issue that's raised here by Rav Schechter, which is putting yourself in a position to be docha isurim, even legitimately, might be a problem in choosing to do a non-Shomer Shabbos residency. Reb Tendler's message was that for the purpose of owning Shabbos and just comfort level and non-halachic issues, you choose the best residency you can get. That is the way he presents it. And that's where his kula is. His kula is, don't worry about much of what we're going to be discussing today. So everybody should know that, that's an address you can go for discussion if you're comfortable with that approach. But I think it's important to hear out Rav Schachter, because Rav Schachter is coming from a very different vantage point on this. And let's explore what he says. So we got into it by mentioning his main concern. He has a list of concerns. A lot of them are not as fundamental as this one. He starts with that sugi and Shabbos and Daf Yutes, where it talks about mafligin tzvina shoshi yamim kolim l'Shabbos, which the Gemara is talking about somebody who's going out on a trip, and if they go out on a trip, they have to, it's ein mafligin tzvina shoshi yamim kolim l'Shabbos. You can't go out on this trip within 3 days of Shabbos. And there's a major machlokas. We've shown him 5-6 different shitas exactly what the problem is. We focused on the Baal HaMor, and the Baal HaMor's understanding of the problem is if you go out on a trip, you know, a seafaring trip, certainly in the times of the Gemara, the very high likelihood, and I'm staying away from certainty, you'll see why, the very high likelihood is that you'll end up being Mechal Shabbos because of Pikuach Nefesh. And if so, the Baal HaMor says, 3 days, Kodim L'Shabbos, within those 3 days, you have to be mindful of Shabbos. Right? You have to have Shabbos on your mind enough that you don't put yourself in that position. What are the exceptions? We saw that the exceptions are, obviously, beyond 3 days, Kodim L'Shabbos, or the Tzorach Mitzvah. Tzorach Mitzvah would also be a matir even within 3 days of Shabbos. So, that sounded pretty good. That sounded, if that was the whole sugya, what's the problem? So certainly, even if you can argue, which I would like to, but there's a lot of debate about this, that when you sign up for your residency, it's more of the category of further than within 3 days of Shabbos than the category of within 3 days of Shabbos, right? So not when you sign your contract, but at least when the chief resident makes a schedule, which is generally a monthly thing, so within a month, so you have at least the beginning of the week, presumably if you're starting on a Monday or a Sunday, right? That your official schedule is out there, let that be the starting point of the clock in terms of your mindfulness of Shabbos, right? Others will argue the reason this is not such a strong approach for a heter, that no, because it could be that we don't look at it that way, we should look at it as when you start your call, that's when you're putting yourself into the position, and if that were true, then you don't get to use that heter. However, Tzorach Mitzvah should clearly work, right? Is it a mitzvah to be a doctor? So I can't emphasize this enough. It's not a mitzvah to learn to be a doctor, stam a person, but once you are an MD, once you graduate medical school, at least you have that. You are now doing a mitzvah in providing healthcare, assuming you do it nicely, right? And you do it l'shem shamayim, and even maybe if you don't do it l'shem shamayim, as we'll see in the second topic we're going to be doing, switching call with non-from Jews, that for sure, that should be operative in terms of wiping out this whole concern. I'm allowed to put myself in a position where I'm going to use pikuach nefesh to be dochi surim if it's the tzorach mitzvah. And this certainly is, to be a doctor is a mitzvah, and to even be a resident. And I will, and I know it's interesting, in Ikvei Atzom and Rav Schachter plays out this entire discussion. There's something in it I also meant to, I'm going to definitely lean on, I'm going to talk to him about this, because I think it's not true. Like, he presents the training of a resident to me, in almost the same vein as a medical student. And in my experience, it's really not true at all. It's adorama. In my experience, the residents, the house staff, the interns are doing the bulk of caring for patients. And as an attending, I'm very comfortable saying that. Like, I know who's doing the nitty-gritty. I know who's really doing the work. So the maisa, I think that they're definitely involved in the mitzvah refuah. And I think that that's something that has to, you know, be taken into account when paskeding the shayla. I didn't know that back then when I had the initial conversation with Rav Schachter. Definitely would have. Right. So, one of the things we said, right, because if you take the argument that you're not allowed to put yourself in a position to be doche yisurim using pikuach nefesh, so my original argument to Rav Schachter was, well, I shouldn't become a doctor, period, because ultimately I'm going to do it, right? So, that has to be pshita. Right? You're allowed to become a doctor, and there is no isser of putting yourself in a position of being dochei serum if a person elects to be a doctor. It just can't be true. It's certainly not true. Then a lot of Rishonim would have problems. But what's the counter argument? So the argument is, yeah, that might be true. Becoming a doctor and then confronting episodes or experiences of pikuach nefesh and hatzalah, that's mutter. That's totally mutter. However, what you're not allowed to do, and what the real sugya is in Ein Mafligin B'Sfina and going out in the midbar, Hayotzim B'Shaira B'Midbar, the sugya there really is you put yourself in a matzah of pikuach nefesh. That's what really where the trouble comes in. You're not allowed to create the pikuach nefesh yourself. So when does that become relevant? So we saw when it comes to treating non-bnei bris, right? When it comes to be treating on Shabbos people that are, you don't have the heter of the chai b'hem. Why? Well, why am I allowed? So just to review quickly, why am I allowed to treat non-bnei bris? So the bottom line is, according to Rov Poskim, is because it's considered, if you don't, the pikuach nefesh for yourself and for Klal Yisrael. And that is what now makes this whole issue resurface again, right? So that really becomes the shaila. Am I allowed, if I'm going to be treating non-bnei bris, create that situation of pikuach nefesh and then use it to be dochei surim? That's really the shaila. Okay. So we said, okay, you're not allowed to, but makom mitzvah, I can. So everything was great until we saw the second sugya. The second sugya is ishtapech hamima. What's going on over there? So this was a question of, there's a bris milah, and we know that according to the Gemara, there's a sakana if you don't use cham in hot water on the infant prior to the bris and after the bris. You need to have that hot water. Certainly, after the bris is done, it's makom sakana, and it's mutter to if the water spilled and you already did the bris, so pshita, I can heat up the water on Shabbos, because we have a situation of sakana stafashos of this baby. If I don't heat up the water, mutter lagamri. The shaila that we show and discuss in Erevin and in Shabbos is, well, what happens if the water spills before you've actually started the bris? Can I heat up that water? Once, can I do the bris, put myself into the position of pikuach nefesh, and then heat up the water? That's the shaila. So, what would you think? What would you think the Baal Mor would say? So the Baal Mor is concerned, right, with you're not allowed to put yourself in a position creating pikuach nefesh, and then use that to be dochei sur. So he should say what? Mutter, why? It's makom mitzvah. He should say havamina that it's a aser, but this is mila, so certainly a tzarech mitzvah, right? Isn't that heter operative over here too? So this is where the stira came in, because he doesn't say that. Unlike the Ramban, right? The Ramban shita here was do the bris mila, and you'll worry about pikuach nefesh when it happens. Why? Because he doesn't recognize this. So yeah, in effect, to some degree, he doesn't recognize this whole chiddush of the Baal Ma'or that we've been talking about. Because according to the Ramban, if you're involved in a mitzvah, ain the mitzvah, ain l'shasa. You do the mitzvah, you don't have to have any thoughts of what's going to be coming down after you do the mitzvah. Just do your mitzvah. There's no obstacle to the mitzvah right now. If you happen to then land into a situation of pikuach nefesh, you'll worry about that then, and you'll do whatever you need to do. So the Ramban says, absolutely do the bris in that case. But the Baal Mor says, no. So that's where we ended with the stira in the Baal Mor. On the one hand, when it comes to Ein Mafligin B'Sfina, don't go out on the trip, he says, if it's B'Malko Mitzvah, then you could do it. But in this case of the Mila, he suddenly said, even B'Malko Mitzvah, don't do it. What's the difference between the cases? So I told you guys to think about it over the week. And a lot of it came out already right away. Three approaches to being miyashiv this stira within the Baal Ma'or. The first approach is the approach of the Magen Avraham, which is basically that the difference is Safek and Vada. That when it comes to the case of the Svina, and as we'll see, going out the Midbar, so the issue is that it's only B'Safek that you'll end up in a situation of pikuach nefesh. It's not 100% definitive. It might be 98%. It might be karov levadai. It might be very, very likely you're going to end up in this situation, which is the theoretical problem. But at least it's a suffix to some degree. And therefore, b'makom mitzvah will be maker. However, the case of the mila is a vadai. As soon as you do a bris mila, 100% of babies are b'makom sakana. So therefore, that's the problem. So now this becomes a little bit of a chumra shita. Right? We'll come back to it in a second. But if you think it through, what it means to become a resident, do you think that's 99% that you're going to get involved in pikuach nefesh? It's 100%. Right? Unless, I don't know, you do rehab. or something. But everyone's got to do a year of internship. You know, you got to do medicine or pediatrics. If you do medicine or pediatrics, or radiology might be safe, but still you got to do medicine or pediatrics. You got to do some general internship for 1 year. I don't think it's possible for somebody, right, to enter one of those without having some sakanas nefashas.
The question being, what's the likelihood that you yourself will be in a sakana? So meaning,
yeah, in other words, you.
What's the likelihood that we're afraid of, like,
yes, good. That's good.
In which case, maybe you could say that.
Good. We'll come back to it in a second. Very good. Right, so that becomes an issue. Do you look at it as the totality of the year or the 3 years, or do you look at it one Shabbos at a time? So I would think that you have to look at it as the totality. You have to look at it as, you know, depending on when we're going to count, it's almost like, it's interesting, if you say that you're going to count the Friday before as the time that you're entering the Sakana, then maybe you can go Lakula on the other end and say, the only thing that should count is this Shabbos. And there it is in Avada. 100%. It's another. We're going to use all these arguments in a moment when we kind of like break this down. But let me give you the chumrah argument first, and then we'll try and see where there's openings. And so far, you hit on two. Okay, that's the Magen Avraham's approach. What are other approaches? So get to yours in a second. There's another one. This is mentioned by the Stipler, Kilas Yaakov, and actually Rav Shlomo Zalman says it. We'll see in a moment. Then another major difference is I think somebody here mentioned this also, when is the entering of the situation or creating the sakana taking place? In the case of the mafligin besfina, it's taking place before Shabbos. In the case of meal, it's taking place on Shabbos. And therefore, what? Why should that be? Why should I be machalek? Anybody? So it's interesting, they get very creative with this. This is real, like, they get a little lumdisha here. So, like, the way it's explained, I think, by the Stipler and Rav Shlomo Zalman is, some reason, this Isser to put yourself in a position of where you're going to use Pikuach Nefesh, the Bidoch Yisurim, before Shabbos, it's only Durabanan, but if it's on Shabbos, it's like at the level of a Daraisa. What's the Makor for that? So Rav Soloveitchik, actually, this is not his Shita on the whole issue, but he explains this Shita the following way. Very creative. I just wish there was a Gemara that said this. But it's Rav Soloveitchik, so it's good by me. And he says the following. He says, there's Shama Vazacha when it comes to Shabbos. So the Isser Malacha, we know Shama. Shama is Yom Shabbos, the culture. So Isser Malacha. What about Zachor? So he says, you have a Chiv of Shama Vazachor on Shabbos. Kodim LeShabbos, it's really just Shama. So Kodim LeShabbos, you have to be worried about actual... midurabanan, you have to be worried about putting yourself in a position, etc., etc. But on Shabbos itself, you have to be zachas yom Shabbos tekadsho. There's a din d'oraisa that you shouldn't be sort of not concerned with ending up being mechalel Shabbos. So that's the kind of like explanation he gives for it. We'll see in a moment. What's the nafkamina to that one? Is there a nafkamina for us? If you say the chiluk is Tzarech mitzvah, and I'm taking for granted that we have a tzarech mitzvah working for us. Tzarech mitzvah, kodim l'shabbos, works because it's only a siddur rabbanan. But on Shabbos, it's the raisa. That'll be very important for us. If that one held up as the real good chiluk. Well, no, or you could, can I do it? In other words, tzarech mitzvah is going to be dependent on it being in a siddur rabbanan. When could you make a chiluk? Halacha l'maisa between something that's the tzarech mitzvah or not. The only place you'll ever see it is in Isuri Darabanan. That's not a daraisa idea. That, oh, the Torah tells me that b'makom mitzvah, right? I mean, there are exceptions to that, a little bit. Asi da, Rosh Hasei, things like that. But otherwise, for the creation of tzarech mitzvah, the way we're using it, and by the way, we use it very, very liberally. If you look at the Ramah, the way he defines tzarech mitzvah in this context, it's like going out for business, right? It's a very open definition here. So when is that type of tzarech mitzvah going to be doch yisurim? Only if it's an issur derabanan. So this approach, if it's correct, actually works lekula for our shaila. The third approach, the one that Bezalel was alluding to, is Rav Soloveitchik's approach. He says, he looks at the words of the Baal Mor himself, Kedarko. He's very, very true to what the Rishonim are saying. If you read this Baal Mor, which is the Baal Mora that's found in the Gemara in Shabbos. He says, basically, a chiluk that emphasizes that when it comes to bris milah, right, what's going on exactly? Is bris milah itself docha Shabbos? Of course, right? Shmini, yimo b'sar alos. That's pshita, that milah itself, the gufa mitzvah milah. But everyone who learned Rabbi Elazar de milah knows, famous machlokas, Rabbi Elazar and the chachamim, machshiri milah, right? Butcher the chuya, the whole sugya, right? When it comes to machshiri milah, Rabbi Elazar is the only one who says that's also docha Shabbos, but we're passing like the chachamim, not like Rabbi Elazar. And machshiri milah, any of the preparatory steps towards milah, is not docha Shabbos. So comes Rabbi Soloveitchik and he says, you know what the Baal Mora is really saying over here when it comes to milah? He's saying that when it comes to bris milah, so if a person, let's say, did a bris milah and then didn't do the hot water afterwards, what's the status of that mitzvah? Anyone have a guess? It doesn't work. There is no, you're not mekayim the mitzvah of milah if what you did was put the baby b'sakana and the baby ends up dying. If you save the baby, then that's the mitzvah of bris milah. So comes Rav Soloveitchik and he says, what's the reason that we're going to be ending up over here, right? If I do the bris milah, what's allowing me to do this bris milah? What's the ultimate obstacle on Shabbos? Is the machshire milah, not the milah. And what the Baal Mora is saying is that machshire milah is never docha Shabbos. So if you do the milah once the water is already spilled, you are in effect using machshire milah, because you're going to have to, in order to be yotzi, the mitzvah of milah, you're going to have to do the hot water. So you're really using machshire milah to be docha Shabbos. So that's the problem. If that's the problem, it knocks out the whole take on the Baal Mora. And he says that the Baal Mora will really be consistent. And b'makom mitzvah, he will still say what he says. And it becomes a tremendous kula if you hold by that shita. So really, Rav Soloveitchik's shita is not brought down the halacha, maybe by he himself, but we're going to stay away from it. It would have been a big cooler for us, it would have opened up the whole sugya, but we can't use it really. None of the posts can really use it. Nobody. Not even, you know, certainly not Rav Shechter. So what we have is the other two to work with. What do you end up with? The first was Safik versus Vadai, or the Shita of on Shabbos, Kodim Shabbos. How do we paskin? So the Magen Avraham paskins, obviously, Safik Vadai, which could create a tremendous chumrah, and it does. If you look, unfortunately, you don't have the handouts, but I advise looking at the Mishnah Berurah's comments in Siman Resh Mem Ches. I'll say them outside. He's very machmir on this, and this is where Rav Shechter gets going with this Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah Berurah comes out, he basically reverses the Shulchan Aruch, right? The Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, Stam, Paskin, like the Baal Ma'or, Lekula, they basically say, look, both in the case of Eimafleidim Misvina and in the case of going out to a midbar, where the way the Machaber puts it, Hayotzim b'shayvah midbar, v'hakol yodim shem tzrichim l'chal Shabbos, and everybody knows you're going to end up being l'chal Shabbos. Everybody knows. Pikuach nefesh is definitely going to happen. So he then gives the whole halacha, the same exact halacha, the way it was presented by the boat case. Meaning, if you go kodim Wednesday, or if it's the tzarech mitzvah, he says here, Ha'ola l'Eretz Yisrael, which of course we all know is a very important mitzvah that everybody should do, right? A little, sorry, editorializing. But for sure, mutter. The Machaber and the Ramah are apaskening like the Baal Mora, l'kulu b'tzaruch mitzvah. Comes along the Mishnah Berurah and he can't believe it. He just can't accept it. So he starts to say, the first thing he does, he introduces the chiluk of the Magen Avraham. And he says like this, in Sif Katan Chaf Vav, he says, Knesset Sagadol, Akasas B'Shem Hari Ben Lev, and also this is Shut Radvaz, right? They both say the following. They say, U'kishiyodea b'vadai shiyabo lidei chilu Shabbos asor af b'chai gavna. Reverses the whole thing. He quotes them, and they say, if it's going to be definitive that you're going to be l'chal Shabbos, like the Magen Avraham, this heter is off. Even l'tzarach mitzvah, and even no matter when you started it. Wouldn't make a difference. And he then quotes also the posik imaim lishvos. The Machaber does say that you should make it clear to the people you're getting involved with, the non-Jews, whoever, in our case, the residency program, you should make it clear to them that you're not working on Shabbos. Right? Now, if that were an absolute stipulation, that was the ikuva, game over. Because that would mean basically you have to sign a Shabbos residency. There are no, to the best of my knowledge, although you can, there is a middle ground, sort of. I remember speaking to some programs when I was trying to develop my optimum Shabbos program. So I remember, you know, to clearly non-Shabbos programs, I remember saying to them, well, yeah, I'd love to go to your program, but I don't want to work on Shabbos. I did say that every single interview I had, and some programs bought it, right? Now, and that's without an official Shabbos. That would be enough to be Yotzei this. In other words, I'm not going to work on Shabbos. Okay, we'll try to help you, right? So I don't have to, like, have them sign me a contract that I'm not going to work on Shabbos at that point. But I have to be clear that I'm not agreeing to work on Shabbos. So is this the Ikuva totally or not? So the Mishnah Berurah says yes. He says, yes, we're going to make it the Ikuva. Everybody's going to agree this is the Ikuva. You can't be docha di isurim deraisa. And then he starts in the Bir Halacha. The language he uses, he's like basically just pella on the Machaber, pella on the Ramah. How on earth are they allowing, in the words he uses, ein shum makar ledino klau shia muta betchila sashabua leired leize inyin shiabo lebasof lechila Shabbos. Kvar herich bezeh haradvaz. Neged the Rivash. The Rivash is the one who uses the Baal Maor the way we conventionally would like to, and the way the Machabra is, and the way the Ramah is. But the Mishnah Berurah is not having it. And he has the Magen Avraham backing up, he has the Radvaz, he has those Shitas, and he comes out totally L'chumra on this issue. If you finish with the Mishnah Berurah and you're passing like the Mishnah Berurah straight up, you basically cannot put yourself into a position of creating Pekuch Nefesh, even the Tzarech Mitzvah. You just can't do it. And this is what Rav Shechter will quote. Rav Shechter, you have it in the handout, wherever it is, he quotes in Ikvei Atzon this approach. Problem with this approach is, what happened to, so what are you saying now? This Isser is an Isser Daraisa, basically, right? You want to, like, if you're going to hold this Chumra approach, you're going to say, it's not just an Isser Darabanan to put yourself in a position of Dechiyas Isura. If the Heter of Tzarech Mitzvah is gone, so you're like implying that it's almost on a level of Daraisa. So Rav Shechter does that. So he develops something that I think is a big chiddush, that he compares, he ends up comparing doing this to a case of the Ein Mevatlin Israel Chatchila. He puts it into the category of that. And he says that this is a Yavish V'Yavish. And Ein Mevatlin Israel Chatchila and Yavish V'Yavish, for those of you who are not up on your Yerodea lately, that's Doraisa. So that's what he compares it to. And he says, even though he quotes Rav Moshe Feinstein, who himself says this Isser is only an Isser D'Rabbanan, meaning putting yourself in a position of using Dechiyas Yisurim, right? Rav Shechter suggests, I think it's Daraisa based on Yavish B'Yavish in Nevat B'Nisra L'Chatkila. And therefore, everything's beginning to make sense, why we should be Machmir on this issue. And at the end of the day, so, but Rav Shechter, what do you do with the Gemara? The Gemara says, you're saying it's Daraisa, but so how could we then be Machalik, the Tzarech Mitzvah or not? So Rav Shechter handles that too. And he says, it must be, they're holding like the Ramban, not like the Baal Maor. They're really, Ein L'mitzvah Elishasa is what's operating according to those that say it's Mutter B'Tzarech Mitzvah. They're using the Ramban. But Rav Shechter wants to come out L'chumra, both sides. He wants to say, number one, we're going to say this is the Nisra D'Raisa, the priest of this position, like sort of the Mishnah Berurah is implying it against the Pashtus of the presentation of the Mechaber and the Ramah and the Rivash. And two, we don't paskin like the Ramban. We paskin, the Shach says, we paskin like the Baal Maor, Legabe, Ein L'mitzvah Elishasa. So he's going to tell us that we'll paskin L'chumra like the Baal Maor in terms of we have to be concerned. We have to be concerned on a level of Daraisa, and we don't have the Heter of Mitzvah. So at the end of the day, according to Rav Shechter, you can see why he feels very strongly about needing to avoid these scenarios. But what are the openings? What are the ways out of this? Why is it? I'll tell you, the majority of people are not machmir this way. Now, what does that mean? So it really doesn't come out in residencies because there's many other reasons. Again, you can't sign death certificates, you can't write discharge orders, you can't write discharge summaries that people need. It's preferable to be in a Shabbos program. But we run into troubles fellowship. According to Rav Shechter, if this comes out really to its ultimate conclusion, a person would have to take this into consideration when deciding what field they go into. And you can't like go into cardiology, you can't go into GI, you can't go into all these fields where there's no such thing as a Shabbos fellowship. There's absolutely no such thing. And even though you will never be Machal Shabbos Shalom Kedeh, I did entire pediatric cardiology fellowship. You know, the one of the best things about it was every situation is Pekuch Nefesh practically. And I never, you know, Baruch Hashem, I never felt that I was ever in a position of being Mechal Shabbos, not B'makom Pikuach Nefesh. But the thing is, was I able to decide to do that fellowship? I remember, like, the whole reason, I wasn't as interested in pediatrics as I was in cardiology. That was my plan. I wanted to go into cardiology. So I did the pediatrics, I get finished, and then I start confronting the Shiloh a little late in the game. I should have confronted it much earlier. And it started to bother me. I said, whoa, wait a second. I never had to deal with this before in my life. I'm going to have to be on Shabbos. You know, and you don't go to the fellowships and say to them, oh, I don't want to be, like, my arrogance by residency, I lost when I wanted to get into a good fellowship. So what am I going to do? So I went running to certain Rosh Yeshiva, including Rosh Hechda and Rav Lulev. I went to both of them. And basically, this was the issue. It came down to this Nakuda that we're discussing right now. And obviously, I went. But I think, and I sort of like went with Rav Lulev. I think there's very, very strong grounds for preferring the Mekel approach in this particular, Lefianis Daiti, in this particular area. What are the grounds? So you mentioned already two of them. One of the problems, and it's going to also bring up a Chumrah, right? One of the issues is, wait a second, all of this is Nogeya if you created the situation of the Pikuach Nefesh. When is that true? That was one of our starting points, right? That's true if you're only treating non-B'nai Bris. But if you're treating B'nai Bris, you don't get into this really, because it's totally mutter to become a doctor altogether and become a person who's going to be the matzil of people that are in Pikuach Nefesh. There's no Isra like that. You're not creating that Pikuach Nefesh. You're the savior, right? You're just entering a profession that is a great, great profession in order to save people's lives. If it happens on Shabbos, that somebody's besakonis, so you're going to save them. It's not like the issue of the non-B'nai Bris. So that's number one. And the truth of the matter is that Lachumra, this is my problem. I told you the story about the guy that called me, and his fellowship was like one where I didn't know of any Jews in that would go near that hospital. So then you have to consider this. Then you really have to. Because if you're exclusively treating non-B'nai Bris, then you arguably are placing yourself, and Klal Yisrael for that matter, into the theoretical sakana that will be your matir for the Yisurei Daraisa. And that then brings back this discussion in its fullest real ramifications. What else? What's another way out of this? So, again, you don't have the handout, but I gave you a Mincha Shlomo. Shlomo Zalman learns the sugya much different than Rav Shechter, and the Mishnah Berurah for that matter. Rav Shlomo Zalman uses that other chiluk to learn the Baal Ma'or. Right? If you ever want to remember the sugya, it all starts with the steer in the Baal Ma'or. How do we resolve it? So Rav Shechter and the Mishnah Berurah are using the Magen Avram's approach. Safik versus Vadai. And Vadai, you got to be Machmir. Comes on Rav Shlomo Zalman in the context of a very interesting tshuva. The tshuva he's discussing, we won't be able to do it now, was another Magen Avram. The Magen Avram said the following. Let's say it's Shabbos and somebody's mugging you or coming in to steal from you. So are you allowed to defend your money and then ultimately put yourself in a position where you create, he's a Rodef and you can kill him and be Mechal Shabbos, right? Or is it preferable that you should just sit there passively and let the guy take all your money? So the Magen Avram, Paskins, sit there passively, let the guy take your money. Right? And Rav Shlomo Zalman is going to argue against that. Right? So he has a bunch of arguments. One of them is our sugya. It's amazing how this gets in there. And he says, this is the Magen Avram, the Shitaso, the Chumrah. He says, and he goes through the whole discussion, like that, if you want a review of the discussion that we had in clear Rav Shlomo Zalman terms, it's in this Tzimin Zayin and Mincha Shlomo. And he reiterates the Machlokas Baal Ma'or and the Ramban. And then he says, the Baal Ma'or, his whole din of putting yourself in this position, it's definitely only the Rabbana. Right? Like Rav Moshe says against Rav Shechter. The whole Isser, putting yourself in a position where you're going to use the Chiyas Isserim because of Pikuach Nefesh, is only an Isser the Rabbana to begin with. And he proves it. Why? He says, because you see that it's B'Makom Mitzvah not on the books, and Shalom B'Makom Mitzvah on the books. That's a Raya that it's only a din the Rabbana. And he ends up saying, I'll just read to you the last bit, after concluding that the chiluk within the Ramah, by Mila, within the Baal Ma'or, by Mila versus Sfina, he says, well, that has to do with, is it on Shabbos or Kodim Shabbos? As long as you enter the situation, Kodim L'Shabbos, he says, B'Makom Mitzvah, not a problem. And he's even defining, this is interesting, not for us now, he's defining the situation of the guy in the money as somehow analogous to B'Makom Mitzvah. Interesting. I guess to preserve your wealth is a mitzvah. It's good to know. But at the end of the day, he makes the following. Here's where you get strongest, I think, to counter the arguments of Rav Shechta and the Mishnah Berurah. He says the following. He says, "L'anias daiti yitachin she'amagen Avram azal l'shitase she'pasuk she'afilu l'dvar mitzvah ein mavligin besvina l'fnei ha'shabes imid starach ha'chachach v'adai l'chal ha'shabes." I think the Magen Avraham, who's machmir in my shaila, is just going to the shitasa that he's machmir in that shaila, that even with makom mitzvah, you're not allowed to defend your money and you have to allow the guy to take it, because I don't believe in dvar mitzvah being a matir when there's vadei chilul Shabbos. And he says this is against Rav Shlomo Zalman, starts quoting the Eliyahu Rabbah and the Rivash, Shulchan Aruch Harav. He says all these poskim say even if it's karov levadai, which one could argue, by the way, our situation is really not vadei 100%. Especially if you look at Shabbos by Shabbos, it's Karov Levadai, it's not even Vadai. He says, in all those, Mekel, Mekel, Mekel. Totally Mekel. And he says, Ulidvar mitzvah shapir dami, ein zedafka be'erev Shabbos, elahu adin b'Shabbos. Mi'ata afsha Mishnah Brura. He even brings down the Mishnah Brura. Even though the Mishnah Brura is very machmir on this, he says, that's because he's thinking it's some kind of Issa Torah, and he's holding like that Magan Avram. He says, Rav Shlomo Zalman, Paskins, no, I think there's enough room to stand on the other approach. So this is very good. This is very, very strong evidence, again, at the end of the day, and to close with this topic, that I find that, let's say, relying on Rav Tendler's approach is a very, very, very viable option here. I understand Rav Shechter's approach, and but when you get into it and in depth, I think there's lots of room for discussion, and of course, it's, you know, none of us are in a position to Paskin for ourselves. But there are many, many poskim, I would say the majority of poskim, that would take the more, in this particular issue, makel approach, legabe having to do a Shabbos residency in order to avoid being in position of being dochi surim al yidei pikuach nefesh. That's a very machmir approach to take. And it's very, very nogei at the fellowships, and somebody who's going to be making that decision, it's good to be aware of this. I think you should still ask a shaila. This is definitely worthy of a shaila on every case. But those are the shitas out there. Any questions before we switch over to the new topic?
What about an attendant? Why is
he's exactly the same. So what does that mean? That A, you should do what Rav Moshe Feinstein says in his famous tshuva, which is, don't publish a number, try to avoid being on Shabbos, etc., all you can. But you're not, it means like, it's mutter to become a doctor? Is it mutter to become an attending? Of course it's mutter. You're out there, you're available. You're not creating those pikuach nefesh situations. If it happens, you're available. Now, you're not also going to be discriminating, beberus, non-beberus. You're out there, you know, for hatzalah, you're thinking on the bidoche, isurim, on Shabbos, dafka for beberus. But because of Mimela, what happens if it's a non-bnei bris, I'll take care of that too.
What about like attending having a shift in a hospital, like shift work?
Right, so good. This is going to get us into today's topic. So this, really the context of Rav Moshe's tshuva is really for that. He's saying like this. He's saying, you should do everything you possibly can not to be on Shabbos, right? Now, is it, push comes to shove, you're a doctor already, right? I have a job where it's possible that I'm going to be on Shabbos. So, if you've tried everything you possibly can to get out of it, which you should, then what do I do? So, you know, it's totally analogous to the situation of a fellow, right? To me, a fellow is no different than that. And I could see Rav Shechter arguing, you can't take a job, right? He'll follow through. You can't take a job where it'll necessitate you being on Shabbos, period. Because you're, again, going to be into this din d'oraisa, which even b'tzorach mitzvah is not mutter. But if you go like the other approach, it's the same issue, and it would be okay. So you're right, it even falls through to that, which is why it's so important to be aware of the tzedakah.
Why did you say before that the owning Shabbos thing?
Right. So in other words, other arguments that were shown, I didn't give you this full discussion. If you look at Ikvei Yatzon, he gives a lot of it, and the article that never got published and even gives more of it. Basically, he talks about the following issues. He says, even if you can get away without ever being Mechal Shabbos, you know, Al Pidin, you still have the Ruach of Shabbos problem, and you have Bittul Shabbos. There's a famous Chazon Ish who was asked to Shaila during World War II when they were rescuing some of the Jews, refugees from the Holocaust. Right? So they asked him a Shaila, oh my God, the only way we can get the next flight out is on Shabbos. So he said, ah, so come to the Pashas, for sure you could do it. So a few weeks later, they come back to him with the same Shaila. This time he said, Asir, don't do it. So why? Exact same Shaila, Mutter, now Asir. So he discusses and he says, because now I see that there's the Isser, not of Chil Shabbos, the Machim Chil Nevesh, this is called Bittul Shabbos, that they just disregard Shabbos. That's the concern. That if you, and it's that slippery slope mentality. That's where this was brought in by Rav Shachter. Another reason to avoid not Shabbos is you get into the habit of being Mechal Shabbos, and you lose what you need to have, and what is the message, the Chuliyama of all the poskim on this, is don't ever lose the sense of I'd rather not be Mechal Shabbos, even Malkum Pekuch Nefesh. And that you have to be mindful of it. And that type of Bittul Shabbos is another nebulous sort of but real halachic inyan, as the Chazon Ish illustrated with his psak, that's relevant. And then just stop owning Shabbos, the enjoyment of Shabbos is certainly not the same. Although I have to tell you that, as we'll see perhaps in a moment in the famous machlokas between Rav Shlomo Zalman and Rav Moshe in our area of switching with a non-firm person, the situation in hospitals in America versus the situation in hospitals in Israel, the owning Shabbos, is unbelievably different. One of the best Shabbosos, you know, I have great Shabbosos at home. One of my best Shabbosos of a few years ago when I was in Eretz Yisrael, I'll summarize the story. It was the last Shabbos of the year, and for us, we were leaving Eretz Yisrael. Unfortunately, we had to go back for a little while, and I didn't really get to say goodbye to the guys in my shir in yeshiva, and I was a little upset about that. And we were just in a very bad mood that whole Shabbos. And we're sitting at home, and suddenly, running into my house, is this woman, frantic woman, holding her 2-year-old, who had been in a bath. She'd been washing, got dirty, had been washing him with cold water, obviously, on Shabbos. And two of her other kids were fighting in another room. She ran out to get the two kids. The 5-year-old suddenly turns on the boiling hot water for the 2-year-old. The 2-year-old scalds the feet, puts hands down, right? Immediate reaction is go for the hand, for the feet that are burning. So it burns his hands. She carries him in. Basically, his hands and feet were dripping off like skin. It was just horrible. So she said, it's a problem. I'll never forget the way she presented it. You think this is... I said, get in the car. And I push her in the car, and I drove first to one place and then another. The first place they weren't really handling it well. I took him to Hadassah, to the burn unit. So what does this have to do with what we were talking about? So I walk in there, and suddenly I see my shir. I see all the guys from my shir. I said, how did you guys know I was going to be here? You came to visit me? It's like unbelievable. Not exactly. They had a certain Erev Shabbos minhag called torch fights. What they used to do, when I guess it was a little downtime right before Shabbos, they'd take aerosol cans, take a lighter, and I guess how do you fight? I don't know if that was a prevalent Shraga minhag, but they were doing it. And one of them blew up right in his face, and he ended up in the burn unit. And all the guys came with him. You know, it was a very tight chedra. It was a bunch of Sephardi guys. They were very, very tight. And we had the best Shabbos of our lives. That's what I'm getting at. In other words, the kid was fine. The other kid was fine. Everybody did great, Baruch Hashem. And we had, great Svidos Shiurim, Shalashudis. It was Gishmak. It was great Avira. It was beautiful. So this is a good segue, sort of, into the machlokas we're about to do. It's an interesting mindset in Eretz Yisrael. Now, you're getting a little better in some of the hospitals here, though, especially in the New York metropolitan area, just to let you know. I know, let's say, by me in Columbia, they have a very, even Columbia, I would take for granted maybe around here that there should be good Shabbos accommodations. But already in many of the hospitals in the New York metropolitan area, where there are a lot of from doctors, they're making it nicer to be in the hospital on Shabbos. So the owning Shabbos thing in Eretz Yisrael is less of a sensitivity, interesting, because in the hospital is incredible. You're just sitting there, and people will come over you and grab you and bring you to a suda, and then just take absolute good care of you. But what about the issue and you'll see why this comes up over here. What about the issue of switching call with a non-firm person? Because now you've agreed, you're doing your fellowship, or you're becoming an attending, and you're in a position where you would like to still avoid being on Shabbos. That's always your mindset. Your mindset should always be to not be on Shabbos, no matter how much this kula is operative. Still, you don't want to be on Shabbos. So one way, and I've used this way countless times, switch with someone else. Get off. Right? Get off. Don't be on Shabbos. Oh, but what if the other person's Jewish too? So I remember when the Shabbos residency I ended up doing was one that was not official, meaning they didn't warn the other house staff there was going to be a Shabbos program. So, number one, you have to really be nice and get ready to do extra work. But number two, you got to get ready for anything. So I remember the second week when they started to catch wind, the other people in the residency, that I was getting off on Shabbos, even though I was doing every Sunday and working my head off, and they were having it easier. But this Israeli guy, I'll never forget it, this Israeli guy who, you know, he had a traditional Shabbos. You know, like he wasn't Shomer Shabbos by any means, but he had a concept of Kiddush, and he felt culturally attached to Shabbos. He was livid. He was like, how come you're allowed to make me be Mechal Shabbos? So, good question. Yeah. Now, not so simple. Right? Machlokas between Rav Moshe Feinstein and Rav Shlomo Zalman. That's the front page of this handout. Rav Moshe Feinstein in the left-hand corner, we won't read it inside in the interest of time, we'll just move this quickly. He basically says it is a good thing to do. It is advisable. Switch with non-firm Jews. You're doing them a big favor. Do it. Rav Shlomo Zalman, opposite. Absolutely don't ever do that. Big mistake. Avera. Wow. This is a setup for a great discussion, right? You have two Gdolei Olam. Opposite ends of a very interesting shaila. It's worth going through. What's the issue? What's this machlokas? What's the concern? What avera are you doing? Leaf neiver, right? They both mention it in the topics, right? That's what I'm worried about. What's the leaf neiver? I'm having a person, because of me, he's going to be Mechal Shabbos. What's
really going to be Mechal because of you? Anyway.
What do you mean? He'll be Mechal Shabbos anyway.
Yeah.
Right. So, therefore?
It's not straight.
Oh. So let's do a little background in Leaf Neiver. How does Leaf Neiver work? And this is very, really important to understand the whole sugya. You have to have the details of Leaf Neiver. It's worth a little digression. So, Leaf Neiver is an Issa D'oraisa. We're all familiar with it. It means, you know, there's literally, don't get bad advice, right? Everybody, people are not mindful enough. A little bit of also personal peeve of mine. People aren't aware of that Issa D'oraisa. Don't get bad advice. It's really a bad Issa. It's a really bad idea. The Gemara and the Bodhisattva in other places learns out there's another element to Leaf Neiver, and that is this idea of protecting the spirituality of your fellow Jew, don't, or non-Jew, right? Don't lead them to do nothing. Don't facilitate their doing nothing. So what exactly is the Din D'oraisa? So that's what we were just referring to. The Din D'oraisa is Trei Aver D'Nahar. That's what the Gemara in the Bodhisattva and the Afav ends up saying, which means if he couldn't have done it without you, that's the Issa D'oraisa of Leaf Neiver, right? It's only because of you he's doing this Aveira, and without you he couldn't do it, then that's an Issa D'oraisa. What about if it's Chad Aver D'Nahar? And the Aver D'Nahar is referring to a Nazir and wine, right? So that you gave the Nazir wine, but he can get wine anywhere. Oh, but if it's Trei Aver D'Nahar, he couldn't get any wine on the other side, right? So then that's the Issa D'oraisa. You facilitated completely him doing it. But if he's on the same side, and the way you got the wine, he could get the wine. That's only what? Mutter? Mutter, Aser. So it's definitely not Issa D'oraisa. And what is it? So it's Machlokes Rishon. It seems like. Right? If you look at Tosfos in Avodah Zarah, he says Mutter. Tosfos in Avodah Zarah, Mordechai in Avodah Zarah, both say Mutter. If it's Chad Aver D'Nahar. The Ran says it's the Rabbanan. But those two say Mutter. What about the Gemara in Shabbos and Daf Gimel, a very famous Gemara? Right? Whatever. So, Tosfos over there says, no, it's Mesayel over Aver. It's an Issa D'oraisa. How do we paskin, right? How do we paskin? Assuming our situation is going to be not Trei Aver D'Nahar, it's going to be Chad Aver D'Nahar, right? How do we paskin? So, if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, it's very interesting. The Rambam doesn't recognize this kula of Treya Avodah Nahara versus Chala Avodah Nahara. He says Daraisa always. That's how the Mechaber goes. The Ramah says, no, you know what? Yesh Omrim, that if it is Chala Avodah Nahara, it is an Isser Derabbanan, right? The Yesh Omrim, that it's Mutter Lagamre. So the Shach jumps on this Ramah and says, what do you mean Yesh Omrim? He says, it can't be like that, because the truth of the matter is, if it's a Yesh Omrim, there's a stira in Tosfos and the Mordechai, because both of them in Avodah Zarah say it's Mutter, and both of them in Shabbos say it's an Issur D'Rabbanan. So there has to be some other way of working this out, which could be very beneficial to us. What is the way you work it out? So the Shach says, the difference is, in Avodah Zarah, we're talking about either Mamash and Obin Avodah Zarah, or a Mumma, a Jew who's a Mumma. And to them, there's no Isser of Messiah over Avera. So a Jew who's totally off the Derech, there is no Isser Bichlal of Lifnei Yibur. What's it talking about in Shabbos? A Jew. So the Noda B'Yud is not so happy with that, because we shouldn't be doing this to any Jew, even a Mumar. He says, that's not the Chiluk that the Shach means. Don't misunderstand the Shach. What he means is, Shogeg Mezid. Ah, this is really going to be potentially helpful to us. If the guy is doing it b'shogeg, right, then there's an issue of issur d'rabbanan of mesayel over avera. But if the guy is mazid, doing it, he doesn't care, and he's just doing it, then mutter, there's no issur, you don't have to be concerned. Ein chiyav lifrosh a mazid from an avera. Right? Many interesting nafkaminas to this. One of them could be our situation. Right? One could potentially argue, well, the non from person that I'm putting on from me is he mazid of shogeg. He doesn't care at all. It's not accidental or forgetting the Shabbos or something like that. He doesn't care. He's mazid. So maybe it should be mutter lagamre. I shouldn't even have a problem with lifnei iver whatsoever. What's the flaw? Doesn't work. Doesn't work for several reasons. Number one, we don't really pass him this way at all. The whole chiluk we don't pass him. The Gra and the Magen Avraham both deny this. They say, forget it. You're not getting. That's not true. Mazid, shogeg, it's usser. There's a mitzvah lifrosh a Jew from an aver either way. And number two, the way most poskim view the typical person who's quote unquote off the derech is a tina shenishpa, and they're all going to be considered chogeg. So just drop that mahalach. That mahalach's not going to be it. Okay. There's one other yisod though we do need to know about lifnei iver that's very important, very famous, Rabbi Kiva Eger, right? One of the most famous. This is really used a lot. It's really he's discussing the Baal Takif, the Isser Baal Takif, cutting off payas. He says, you know, there's an Isser for a man to cut off his payas. What about for a woman? Is there an Isser Baal Takif by women?
No.
What about a woman to cut off a man's payas? What's the Isser? Lifnei Iver. So comes along Rabbi Akiva Eger on that, and he says, wait a second. What's better? For the woman to cut off the man's payas, or let the man cut off his payas? What do you guys think? Which is worse? What happens if a man cuts off his own payas? How many yisurim are there to Baal Takif? There's the nikaf and the makif. The makif is the guy that's doing it. That's certainly us. What about to have your payas cut off? That's also us. You go to the barber, you gotta make sure they don't cut off your payas. So, little inside joke. But that's an issur d'oraisa, right? It might be no malchus or something, because it's lashem b'maisa, but it's a real issur. So, if a man cuts off his own payas, how many yisurim? Two. He's a maki and a nika. If a woman cuts it off, only one. So, Rav Kida Eger, and this opens up incredible chuvos that are very, very much experienced by all of us in this room. We'll see in a minute. He says, the whole yisod of lifnei iver is a concern I should minimize the other person's averos. I should not facilitate in any way them doing more averos. So, therefore, the woman should do it. If you know the man's going to do it anyway himself, the woman should do it, because ultimately, that's not lifnei iver. Not doing it will be lifnei iver, because if she doesn't do it, he's going to do more averos than if she does do it. So, with this, opens up all the NCS, why, you know, Torah, all this stuff. Can I invite somebody over, right? Shlomo Zalman is a trivial like this. Can I invite somebody over? They're not from, they're not going to make brachos, they're not going to wash before they eat bread. Can I invite them over? Yeah, Rabbi Kiva Eger. He quotes Rabbi Kiva Eger. right? He says, look, they're going to curse religion altogether, they're never going to become from. That's a lot more of a leaf neiver than to not be friendly and invite them over. Ad kidei kach, he takes this. And Rav Moshe also, that's the problem, they both do it, so it's not going to be archiluk. Rav Moshe says, in the context, what was it? Oh yeah, there was a hall, catering hall, and it was going to be a mixed dancing affair. And the person asked Rav Moshe the shiloh, they want to have this mixed dancing affair, should I take them? So Rav Moshe says, well, if you don't, they're going to go to the non-kosher place, and that'll be worse. And the whole Yisod of Yifneiver is going to be worse if you don't let them have the affair by you. So we see that this is a very, very accepted approach of Yifneiver. And it becomes really the whole focal point of the discussion in our issue. What's the bottom line then? When I put this guy on for me, the guy, the non-Shabbos observing Jew, and I put him on call for me, am I minimizing or not his affair? That's the Shabbat. So what will that depend on? What's he going to do if he's not on call? In Michal Shabbos. In what context? Whatever context. I don't know. Whatever he wants to do. He's going to be Michal Shabbos like crazy. If I put him on, he'll be Michal Shabbos. In what context? Hatzalah, Pikuach Nefesh, Minimally Cholish Eimbo Sakana, something. Right? So, I would think, wow, Pshita. Much better to put him into the context of Hatzalah. That's who? With Moshe Feinstein. And Moshe Feinstein says, you're doing the guy a big favor. You're definitely less leaf neiver if you give him the call. Right? What does Rosh Hashanah Zalman say? What's the machlokes? So it's very, very interesting. And it's, I don't know, it's up to you guys. We're going to stop there. But the machlokes, the development of the machlokes between him and Stein gets into very interesting Lamdash Hasidus. I would love to do it. But if we're worried about getting more time for absolute practical things, there are other ramifications from a lot of the discussion we're going to do, but there's a lot more practical halacha to do. I'm going to hear from somebody, I guess, over the course of this week to tell me if next week we should do the development of this machlokas. It gets into the following issues. On one of the pages I gave you, there's a page from Shmir Shabbos. Right? Everyone have two, whoever has a page, there's two pages. There's the handout, and then there's a separate page. Should be. Or maybe not. But in the handout itself, on page 5, on top, over there. This is such an important recording, I'm going to do it twice. In it is really the most, Rav Shlomo Zalman and Rav Moshe in their tshuvos don't tell you much. It's very interesting. They just pass it. But Rav Neuwirth in Shemir Shabbos spoke to Rav Shlomo Zalman about his psak, and he explains it in this footnote in note Kuf Chaf He. And over there, he gives you certain sugyas that he develops to get his psak of why he thinks the whole argument that Rav Moshe is giving that we just gave is incorrect. So these sugyas are really worth seeing. It's very, very interesting to understand how averas work. That's the game. What's the game if we do it? I'm going to push for doing it, obviously. Much more interesting to me. Is, what does it mean to do an avera? What does it mean to do an avera? So, there's kavana and maisa, right? How much of each is necessary to count as an avera? Two, what is the significance of the makom hatzalah? How does that operate? Does hatzalah automatically, without any kavana, to use the chayvahem kuch nefesh ethic, without any knowledge of that, does the act of hatzalah itself allow me to be docha yisur? Obviously, Rav Moshe thinks so. Rav Shlomo Zalman does not. Right. So that's the ultimate, the goal. We'll continue with this. Maybe I'm going to assume we're doing it. And I'll put the onus on you guys. I'm going to assume, if I don't hear from anybody, I'm going to assume that we're going to develop that issue. It will only take us a third to half of the time next week, and then we'll move into another topic. Halacha l'maisa, you should know, over here, so it comes down to machlokas with Moshe and Rav Shlomo Zalman. So I was once discussing this issue with a very radical thinker, I call him, meaning a person who is very original in his approach to halacha. Has his own Yisodos and how the halacha system works. So I'm purposely introducing his statement that way, because I don't agree with what he said, but it's an interesting observation. He theorized that the reason Rav Shlomo Zalman came out with his psalm, and the reason Rav Moshe, he said, after he heard my whole shiur, the whole shiur I'm going to give you next week, which I'm very excited about, he said, yeah, that's very interesting, pats me on the hand. But I'll tell you what it's really about. He says, do you ever go to a hospital on Shabbos in Israel? Right? The thing we were talking about before. Do you ever go to a hospital on Shabbos in America? He was convinced, you know, it's like, because Rav Shlomo Zalman felt that it was not bad for a doctor to be in a hospital on Shabbos, you know, and the whole experience was so positive, so he comes out, hung around this issue. Don't switch, do it yourself. But Rav Moshe, who thinks it's so bad for a doctor in the hospital on Shabbos, switch because it's so horrible for a doctor. So, pretty nonsensical. So if you don't want to stay with that approach to understanding the Machlokas Rav Shlomo Zalman and the Moshe Feinstein, which I highly recommend you don't, go with mine. Mine is speculative, but at least the footnote gives me the sugya to look at. We'll see what the machlokes in that sugya is. Alright, so if I don't hear from you, we'll do this first, and then the next topic we're going to do, which has a lot of practical subtopics to it, is return from Hatzalah. Return from Hatzalah is not just a question of how do I get back home after I've done my Pikuah Nefesh, but it gets into the question about what are my obligations if I have a shift where I know I'm going to be rounding in the ICU, and I have to round on Shabbos, but they don't really need me till Shabbos, am I allowed to stay home and then use Pikuach Nefesh as an excuse to come in, or do I have to stay over on Shabbos? Also, what if I'm in there Friday and I'm staying late? Under what conditions can I leave? How can I leave? All those shadows and many, many different permutations of that sugya. We'll do that next, and we'll hopefully move through that next week.